Listen to His call today. You must be born again. You must be born again. Some of you today, you have that burning in your heart. Once again, you've sensed that time and again throughout your life at different occasions. See that you do not resist the Spirit of the Lord today. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." Jesus says, "I'm knocking, but it's your responsibility to let me in, to open that door." Let every heart receive him. You can feel his presence. You can be in the atmosphere of his presence, but you're not saved until his presence is in you. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of life from above. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent means to turn away from your path, from your way, and follow the way of the Lord. Jesus said, "Narrow, difficult, confined is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Because wide is the road that leads to destruction. Many go that way." That wide road is the way of self-will, independent of your Creator. Jesus came and died to reconcile us back to God, to bring us back to our Father, to make us one with Him. He came to redeem us. He paid for us with His own blood. See that you do not refuse Him who's speaking to you. Today is a day of salvation. Soon, and very soon, you and I are going to see Him. The Bible's very clear that every knee will bow to Him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we bow now. We bow our knee before the King of glory. Today we come before Him, not with our own goodness, but with what's left of the mess that we've made of our lives, and say, "God, please, take this mess. I don't want it anymore. I don't want my life anymore. Jesus, I want you." Would you tell him today, "Jesus, I want you. Lord, take my life and give me yours. Forgive me, Lord. Save me. Deliver me from myself and lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Jesus, I give you my heart." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've heard people say that I like to come to church because I like the way I feel when I'm in church. You know, I have to agree with that statement as well, that I do like the way I feel when I come to church. You know, but folks, you got to get beyond just how I feel in church to having the same one that you're experiencing externally living on the inside. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, doesn't belong. But if you're in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. A completely new order. It's not a patch up. It's not a self-improvement. It's not just making things better. It's being transformed, a new creation. All of a sudden, you start to think differently. You start to desire differently. When you mess up, you don't like it. Amen? When you sin, you don't feel good about it anymore, because Christ has come to dwell in your hearts. That's how you know you're born again, because His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. Your spirit is that inward man, the very inner core of your being, that you are children of God. So the Lord says, open up and trust me. Trust me. See, sometimes, folks, we have a hard time opening up because we've been betrayed so many times in life or let down by people. Sometimes even people that have been authorities in our lives, you know, so that it's hard for us to really let go and trust. But I'm here to promise you today that if you trust the Lord with all your heart, you'll never be ashamed. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never regret it. The Lord can always be trusted. God can always be trusted. Amen. So we've got to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. Let Him in. Just let Him in. Hallelujah. Do you understand, folks, that everything in life is in the book? There are books that are written in heaven. And everything that you've ever done and said or even thought are in those books. Now, that can be a scary thought unless you've been to the cross, unless you've been under the blood of Christ and had those things blotted out. Amen. Those sins blotted out. But we can have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He was in this world, so are we. That means I live like my Lord. I follow in His footsteps. I follow His example. Amen. I don't trust in my goodness. I trust in His goodness. I don't trust in my ability to live holy or good. I trust in God's goodness, God's ability, God's grace to live a righteous life. Do you hear that? It's not my righteousness, not my goodness, but His righteousness, His goodness. But you've got to open up the door. You've got to allow Him to have you. The problem is, as many people are not trusting the Lord, they're not really believing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, they're not really believing, so that they're not really letting Him have access. We're keeping Him at the door. If you keep Him at the door, folks, you'll perish. You've got to have Christ in you in order to have hope, in order to have salvation. And when Christ is in you, you will want to be with God's people. You will want to sing His praise. You will want to learn of Him. You will want to rejoice. Amen. There's something that happens that you cannot explain, but you can experience. It is a real thing that's happened in my life. How many else here? Amen. And I've heard people say, well, I know you were picking on me. You were targeting me with that message. Well, hello. If a person is drowning in the ocean and I've got a lifesaver, hello. You got to get saved.
Yeah.
Take a hold of it. Amen. Jesus died for you. To deliver you from yourself and from the mess that we've made of our lives. Believe me, I've made a lot of mess in my lifetime. But praise God, I'm not who I used to be. And praise God, I'm not who I'm going to be either, because I'm in a process too. But we love Jesus because He loved us first and gave Himself for us. And we've received Him, gave Him room, say, Lord, be Lord of my life. I want You in me. I don't want my life. I give You my life for Yours. I'm taking the inferior in exchange for the superior. That's what's happened. That's what's happened in me. And that's what can happen in each one of us if you'd open your heart. Do me a favor. Open the door and let Him in. Let Jesus in. Amen. Hallelujah. Not Uncle Albert, but Jesus. Hallelujah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Well, I believe Jesus. A lot of people say they believe Jesus, but Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. If Christ is in you, you'll have the fruit of Christ. Amen? As you allow Him to live in you, live through you, there's hope. A lot of people today are just living a hopeless existence. Has anybody beside myself been there before? Just everything was hopeless. What's the point? What's it all about? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the foolishness of our vain thinking apart from Christ. How many know that this life is just momentary? It's just temporary. But eternity is forever. And you and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. And I don't know about you, but I want to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't like the alternative. No. Hallelujah. Well, let me just share a few thoughts with you this morning, okay? I want us to begin from this point. Last week, I really emphasized the point that Christmas is about the incarnation. Incarnation is, according to Noah Webster, is the embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. So Christmas is about Christ, who is God, or Emmanuel, right? God incarnate, in flesh, God in flesh, incarnation. So He's more than just a babe in a manger. He's more than just a good man. He's more than a prophet. He's the Son of God. And this is the amazing thing, that God became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He came unto His own, but His own did not receive Him. He came to the Jewish people initially. But to as many as received Him, to them He gave the power or the authority to become the sons of God. We become sons and daughters of the Most High God through the new birth made possible through Jesus Christ, His indwelling spirit, you see. God's plan was to not live, if you will, in a temple made by hands, as in the old past and the Old Testament pattern, but in the New Testament, amen, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God comes to dwell within us. God with us and revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. If any man, you know, is born again, he shall see the kingdom. If we have Christ, we have life. If we don't have Christ, then we will not see life. You understand? You've got to make sure that your heart is right with your Maker. And the only way to do that is not by just improving yourself, but by humbling yourself. Humbling yourself before the Lord, acknowledging the fact that you are lost, that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and the only thing you can do is hope for the mercy of God on your behalf. And I have to come to an awareness, I had to come to an awareness in my own life that I was lost and I was separated from God. And I came to the end of myself and I said, God, is I don't like this that I've become. I don't want to be me anymore in the sense that I had just made a mess of everything. And I wanted to be made new. I wanted a new beginning. I wanted a fresh start. I tried all kinds of things to pacify myself, to occupy my mind, myself with activity and music and friends and party, whatever, to try to fill that void. But nothing satisfied me, and I had to come to the end of myself and all my attempts to find heaven. I was looking for heaven. That's, folks, that's what people are doing. They're looking for heaven. People are searching. Back in the 60s, it was, let's return to the garden. You know, they were searching for Eden, the paradise of God, and yet we're not going to find it by our own path. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. And that way is narrow. And there are few who find that way. In the days of Noah, only 8 souls were saved. In that entire world, only 8. And every one of those souls were the ones who were about their father's business in building the ark. Have you ever thought about that? They were all workers together with Christ. Amen. God put Noah in charge of the project. But they were saved by what? By the grace of God. The grace of God was that ark of safety, of refuge. The door had been sealed by God Himself. There's coming a day, hear me folks today, there's coming a day when the door will forever be shut for you. God sealed that door. No one was able to open that door. They got on board the ark and God sealed the door. They are the ones that had prepared themselves. They were the ones who were ready. And the others, even as Jesus said, many will begin to knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. That's what took place, folks. It was too late. Do you understand how important it is that you realize that without Him, without Christ, there is no hope? There is hope, however, to those in Christ Jesus. And to those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Now that puts a smile on my face. I'm not in condemnation today because I'm in Christ. He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. He is my redemption. God has come to dwell by His Holy Spirit in my heart. Emmanuel, God with us. He's in us. You know that God is not against you? Actually, God is for you. Even when we were in sin, God was for us. He took the initiative. He took the first step. He sent His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. He's not against people. He's for us. The devil's the one that's against you. You got to quit listening to that dude. He hates you. He makes all kinds of promises, but they're empty promises. Kind of sounds like our politicians, doesn't it? If I get into office, I'm going to do, but they don't do. They take. And that's what the devil does. He's a taker. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a destroyer. Jesus said, the thief came to what? To rob, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a better alternative. But you've got to be born again. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to acknowledge you cannot be good enough. You cannot save yourself. You need His grace. You need His mercy. You need to confess your sins to God. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive you. To forgive means to cancel the debt. Isn't that good news? Cancel the debt. Wipe the slate clean. Oh, hallelujah. Now the devil will come along and say, remember what you did yesterday? After you said, Lord, I'm sorry for that. And he comes up and says, you remember what you did? Yeah, but God doesn't. And neither should I. Have you confessed your sins to God? You don't have to confess them to a priest. Amen. We have a great high priest in the heavens, Jesus Christ. We go right directly to Him. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we call upon Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Isn't that what the thief did on the cross? He said, Lord, remember me. He acknowledged to the other man. He says, we're here because we deserve to be here. But then he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? This day you shall be with me in paradise. Turn to the Lord. He's throwing you a life saver. He's given you an opportunity to be saved. One of the names given to Jesus was Dayspring. Dayspring on high, which means dawn. The day string, Luke 1:78, from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus claimed to be that light. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In Matthew 4:16, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Who's that great light? And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Who are the people who sat in darkness? Those the inhabitants of Galilee who had sat in spiritual blindness and darkness. And they saw that great light, and that great light was Christ Himself. He came as a light into the world. And this light talked with them. This light preached to them. This light opened their eyes of their understanding so that they could know Him. And this light revealed to them His salvation. Today, those who are in darkness are those, again, who are not in Christ. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation. This is what damns people, that the light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. And that's why even when you tell people about this message, you tell them about Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and they people hate you for it because they don't want to come out of darkness. They like the darkness. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The New Living Translation, verse 29:21 says, but those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. In other words, people who are in the light are those who live for God. People who are in the light are those who live for God. If we walk in the light, as He, Jesus, is the light, we have fellowship one with another. True harmony, true peace, true fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Those who are not in Christ are in danger of the second death, which is eternal separation. In Colossians 2:13, it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Colossians 2:13 says, being dead. That means already dead in your trespasses. We are born corrupt. We are born lost, born separated. The only way that we can be brought back into right standing with God is through that one way that God has ordained, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Not because I stand before God and say, look, God, look at all the good things I did. Certainly, I should qualify for heaven. The problem is the sin problem disqualifies us from heaven. If we don't deal with the sin problem in our life, we will not make heaven. If you just think that you're going to have enough good to outweigh the bad, you're deceived, because sin remains. And as long as there's sin in your life, you cannot stand before the holy God. And the only solution for that sin is the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus came, to be the sacrifice for our sins. He was the Lamb of God, slain on our behalf. Through the blood, we can enter into His brightness. We can come into the light through the blood of Jesus. We can be reborn to this new hope that we have in Him. Without Christ, there's no true spiritual light. A lot of people are talking about, go towards the light. Walk towards the light. Folks, there is a false light that people are pursuing. The devil himself masquerades as an angel of light. a beautiful being to behold. And people are duped in following after angels, and there's a false light. But then there's the true light, which is the life of man. That true light is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the only way to the Father. Folks, light had dawned in the darkest time of Israel's history. There was no hope. They were in darkness, spiritual blindness. There'd been no revelation. Everything was hopeless. And then the dawn came, the dayspring, Jesus Christ. The light came into the world. Hallelujah. And hope sprung up. Out of death was life. And He's the way. And to as many as received Him, to them He gave the what? The power, the right to become the sons of God. No matter how hopeless things may be in your life or your situation, and in fact, no matter how badly you've been treated in life, no matter how badly you've blown it in life, some people have believed the lie from the devil that, oh, they've made pacts with the devil, or they've worshipped the devil, or they've done so many horrible things that God would never forgive them. God would never accept them. That's a lie. God will save anyone who will come to Him in repentance. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance. Repentance means I'm through with my way. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. So the message of Christmas is, folks, there is hope for the hopeless. There's light for those in spiritual darkness and blindness. And there's life for those in spiritual death. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The great apostle Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners. But Jesus came to save me." Hallelujah. Now, was he saying that he continued to live a sinful life? No. He says, "I realize that I've been the chief of sinners, but God loved me first. God gave up Jesus on my behalf that I could be saved." The very one who persecuted his people, consented to their death and had them thrown into prison, was saying, "Jesus came to save even someone like me. Jesus came to save terrorists." Paul was a terrorist. He terrorized the church. That's our God. That's the love of God. That's the opportunity we've been given to come to Him and be saved, to receive the love of the truth. It's God's love story. It's God's love for you and for me, who don't deserve it, but yet God in His mercy gave to us this gift of His only begotten Son, Emmanuel. The light has come. We can have hope. Hallelujah. I lived a hopeless life, but today I have hope. Amen? Because we have Christ. If you have Him, you have everything. He's all I need.